The new security system in Lockport schools recognizes two things, guns and faces. But it's only supposed to identify some people whose photos are stored in a database maintained by the district. That includes unauthorized school staff, like a suspended teacher, level 2 and 3 sex offenders, and other adults whom law enforcement determines are a credible threat.
So the software is scanning all these people going by, and they're just going by, nope, 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 till finally, hey, there goes Michelle. I'm looking for Michelle. Hey, I think I just saw Michelle.
Dr. Robert LaPuma is director of technology for the Lockport City School District. He says at that point, two levels of human verification are required to confirm the match. Just one is required to confirm a gun identification, which then triggers an automatic alert to Lockport police.
That time, minutes, seconds can save lives.
Some national experts disagree. Groups like the Future of Privacy Forum in Washington, D.C. say there's no evidence that facial recognition systems will actually make schools safer or give first responders time to intervene. Amelia Vance is director of Youth and Education Privacy at the forum.
This is something where, unfortunately, we're talking about a system that is not proven to work and a system that is incredibly expensive not only to purchase but also to maintain.
There have also been multiple studies showing that most commercial facial recognition systems exhibit racial and gender biases and are more likely to misidentify women and people of color, though the technology is improving. Craig Watson is Image Group Manager at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, the leading government body studying the accuracy of facial recognition algorithms.
The test we do here is very detailed, and I do believe that it gives you a good measure of how well that algorithm is likely to perform in the system.
The algorithm that powers Lockport's system is called ID3. The security system itself is called Aegis, and it's developed by a Canadian company called SN Technologies. Aegis has performed well in past NIST studies. A spokesperson told the Buffalo News last summer that its accuracy rate was between 98 and 99%. But in part 3 of NIST's ongoing research, which focused on demographic performance and came out in December, the ID3 algorithm didn't perform as accurately on every kind of face.
It looks like white females for ID3 performed pretty closely to the 1 in 3,000 mark?
Correct.
Is that right? Okay.
Correct.
Watson
yeah.
says the study had like about 200 facial recognition algorithms, analyzed more than 18 million images of 8 million people from around the world, classified as white, black, Asian, and American Indian. In one test using mugshots, the baseline performance for identifying white males was one false positive, meaning the wrong match, for every 10,000 images. ID3 and most of the other algorithms performed worse for women across the board, misidentifying 1 in every 3,000 white women, about 1 in 1,000 Asian and black women, and 1 in 100 Native American women. That means the algorithm is 100 times better at identifying white men than Native American women. It's also better at identifying white men than men of other races.
Actually, black and Asian males are just to the left of 1 in 3,000. So they're going to be a little higher than 1 in 3,000. And then American Indian males are just a little more than 1 in 300.
Again, most of the other algorithms had similar results, and NIST didn't rank the different developers. SN Technologies told WBFO it has done more work on the ID3 algorithm for Aegis, but we don't know what that means exactly because the company declined an interview request for this story. LaPuma says any false positives in Lockport will be easily caught and dismissed by human monitors, like if a student or parent gets incorrectly flagged as a sex offender, for example. The NYCLU isn't convinced, and it has also raised concerns about the involvement of a man named Tony Olivo in Lockport's purchase of Aegis.
We have the best technology in the world in a school in Western New York, and everybody wants to shut it, not everybody, but there's a lot of people that want to shut it down.
Olivo is a former U.S. Marshal and partner at a risk management company in Orchard Park. He's also a paid consultant for SN Tech. Speaking at a Lockport school board meeting in 2018, Olivo says he was impressed when he saw a presentation by the company at an anti-terrorism conference in Toronto.
I approached them and I asked them if they had a program like this for school districts. And quite frankly, they looked at me like I had 3 heads because they don't have these issues outside the United States, sadly. So over the course of the
At the time, Aegis was used mostly by European law enforcement agencies like Scotland Yard, Interpol, and the French Ministry of Defense, according to Olivo. He helped SN Tech adapt the system for use in American schools. He also already had relationships with dozens of school districts across New York State, including Lockport, from offering free security screenings after the Sandy Hook shooting. But Olivo says that doesn't mean he made money off of Lockport's eventual purchase of the Aegis system.
So beyond that development, partnership, and consultation, was there any kind of sales commission aspect of that partnership?
No. I'm compensated as a consultant by SN Tech.
Lockport paid for its $1.4 million five-year Aegis license using public funds allocated through the Smart Schools Bond Act. That 2014 program made $2 billion in taxpayer funds available for educational technology, like laptops or expanding internet access. One of the six categories schools can also expense for is high-tech security. Joanna Miller, director of the NYCLU's Education Policy Center, says SN Tech saw that as a business opportunity.
We think that that public money could be serving our kids in a lot better ways than going to a private company.
Another concern is that some Lockport parents, including the majority who attended a town hall meeting hosted by the NYCLU in February, say they feel like they were in the dark about the whole sale. Here's Stephanie Coyle from the NYCLU explaining to attendees that the district said parents were consulted.
They had to verify and attest to the fact that they engaged with parents and students and teachers. So I'm just saying that is what they certified, that they engaged with stakeholders, including parents and teachers and students. So if that didn't happen, that seems like a real problem.
The NYCLU says the State Education Department should have required more meaningful community engagement. A handful of Lockport High School students who have been speaking out also say they were never told that the new security system includes facial recognition. Eli Schrader is a graduating senior.
And we just kind of feel lied to, deceived, and that if anyone that they should talk to about it should be us. And I kind of feel like they avoided the whole situation.
Lockport Superintendent Michelle Bradley says the district has focused on the shared responsibility of students and staff to keep schools safe.
And how have you been talking about the system with students? Have there been any like student questions or presentation to students about this?
Yeah, we just, as you know, we just got this up and running. So what I will say is, again, we comply with safety plan requirements. So that includes putting codes of conduct in language of students so that they understand expectations, what we expect them to follow to keep all of our schools safe. We've had
the district also says it followed all of the state's rules for Smart Schools Bond Act purchases and held a public meeting about its plan to buy Aegis during a regular school board meeting in August 2016. Meeting minutes show there were no public speakers. And the NYCLU isn't alone in criticizing this process. Monica Wallace, a Democrat representing Cheektowaga and Lancaster, is sponsoring a bill in the state assembly that would impose a moratorium on all biometric technology in schools through 2022. Or until the state education department completes a thorough study.
Well, I thought, you know, if before we go ahead and start using our children as guinea pigs, we should take a deep look at this and decide from a statewide perspective, is this something that we think is a technology that we think the benefits of the technology outweigh the risks?
Wallace was hoping her bill would pass the state Senate during the spring legislative session, but the coronavirus pandemic disrupted that schedule. In the meantime, at least one other local school district, DePue, has purchased a one-year Aegis subscription but not yet activated the system. Kyle Mackey, WBFO News.